those that insight, Yedias Hashem, La'asid Lavoi. Yes, Yazhiru Kizaya Harakia. They will shine like the shining sky. Umatzdike Arabim. And those who bring righteousness to the public. Kakoichovim lo'ilam vo'ed. Who are the matzdike Arabim? Says, you know, the Gemara in Baba Basra says one pshat, it means Meloshin Tztaka, Gabay Tztaka. But the other pshat is Elam Melamde Tenekis. These are people who teach the next generation. They're like stars which are eternal. So first let's just take the end of the pasuk. What does it mean, lo'ilam vo'ed? They are eternal. Everybody is eternal. Person does a mitzvah, they get schar. Schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah, so it's, by definition it has to be in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is eternal. So what does it mean that only the matzdika rabbim are la'olam vod? And Abitzel Petterberger in Chaychei Or says as follows. Everyone's thinking or assuming that they're heading to Olam Haba. Why? Because they do mitzvahs. They do mitzvahs. Schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. So you have to go to Olam Haba. The question is, how much of a detour are you going to make along the way in a climate that's even warmer than Miami? That is the whole shaila. But we're going to end up in Olam Haba because we all do Torah and mitzvahs. However, he says, Zagonish Tazay Parshat. Yaakov Avinu said, Katointi mikoyla chasodim and mikoyla emes. Maybe I used up my schuyas. Tanin the Gemara says, don't know where I'm going because maybe I used up all my schuyas. So it's possible that a person could use up all their schuyas in Olam Hazeh. And Memela, nobody knows for sure that they're going to Olam Haba.
The Mishnah that says, means you start off with that.
Well, the Barbanel says it refers to a neshama. You have a chelik that could go to Olam Haba. But whether you're going to Olam Haba, it depends. A person could have used up their mitzvahs. Now we know, if a person does averis, so some averis, tshuva is mechaper. Some averis, you need yom kippur and tshuva. There's one mitzvah, one avera that you can't have any kapara in this world, is chilul Hashem. When you do a person chilul Hashem, only misa can be mechaper. What is a chilul Hashem? The Gemara says, hey, chidami chilul Hashem, kigayin anah that goes dalet amas b'lay tefillin, or if you pay on credit in a place where it's not acceptable. A chilul Hashem is someone that weakens, and that's how the Rambam writes it, is someone that weakens avodas Hashem by other people. So Abitzel says as follows. If a chilul Hashem is someone that weakens other people's avodas Hashem, so someone who strengthens someone's avodas Hashem is a kiddush Hashem. Just like a chilul Hashem can't have any kapara in this world, a kiddush Hashem cannot use up all the schuyas in this world. A kiddush Hashem has to guarantee an eternity. And thus the pshat, dematzdike rabim kakaychavim lo'ilom vod, they are guaranteed eternity. If you matzdik other people, you're guaranteed. What you do yourself, you can use up. What you're doing for other people, you cannot use up. What is the dimyon to kakaychavim? What does it have to do being like a star? Today, it's very probably tell everyone, you're a star. Recently, I told someone, you know, a young lady was struggling. I'm telling you, you know, you're a star. So she says, yeah, I feel like I'm a speck in the universe. I feel like a little speck. That's what she told me. I said, that also. But I didn't say you're the only star. I said, you're a star. But what does it mean you're a star? And the Marsha says, very simple. Stars, we say the stars come out at night. Stars are there 24 hours a day. You only see them at night. They become visible at night, but stars are out the whole time. Zot the Mashal, the same thing if you teach people, you're only in the classroom a few hours a day. And you think, okay, my only Ashpa is a few hours a day. You have to know that people that by the Talmud, 24 hours a day, he's thinking, what does my Rebbe think of me? If I'll do this, what will happen? It's a constant thought which is in their mind. Zakta Masha, those are pshat kachovim. They're like stars, which are there, a presence in their life at all, around the clock, albeit you're only visible at a certain time. As I Zakta Masha, I would like to add, in contemporary science, we know that when you see a star in the sky, this is light that was emanated from the star, and it takes time to reach the Earth, right? Some of them are so many light years away. When we're looking at now was the light it gave off 8 years ago. It could even have been, the star could have extinguished since then, but you're still seeing the light, which is traveling on its way down. I think the same effect a Rebbe has is sometimes not even when the kid is in your class. Sometimes you should know you say something, and many years later, it has an effect on a Talmud. Anyone who, you know, has been in this business a long time, people come back to you and they tell you, you know something? Something you told me many years ago, when I had such an assignment or I had such a circumstance, it clicked on me. I remember when I was in 12th grade. Was it 12th? No, it was 11th grade. As 11th grade, the Rebbe said, came June 1st, no more fehez, there's no more b'chinas, no more fehez this year. Kitzer, sure enough, 2 weeks late into June, he goes and gives a fehez. So a different boy and myself, we went on strike. You know, havart is havart. You know, you say no more fehez, no more fehez, that's it. Nothing doing. And very interesting enough, I got punished and the other boy didn't. So I felt nach aggressor avla. Not only is the Rebbe a liar, but he plays favorites. So I protested even stronger. And he said, no. You both did the same aveda, so to speak. But from Dr. Zimmerman's son, I expect more. At that time, I felt nach aggressor avla, being nach, you know, yim subanim alavaisam. I'm even nach being carrying sins. He said, at different points in life, I've heard this man's voice, who I've long forgotten. He's not alive anymore. You know, you should know something. He was a rebbe, and then the yeshiva closed down. He could never find another job. And one day, I walked into a takeout store, and he was standing behind the counter, serving people. There's nothing wrong with that. Yigia kepech yisaych ha-shaych ha-tayvlach. But he was very embarrassed when his former Talmud saw him in such a circumstance. But you should know, a few years after that, in a certain circumstance, I remember him telling me this, and I did something that I wouldn't have otherwise done, l'toiv. So you should know that sometimes you're like a star, that that what you say has a hashpa at a later date. Das pshat. You're in their life a whole time, and it could be in their life many years later, and lo'ilam va'ed, you measure eternity. You know, in Volatzian, they say, Hu yiftach libeinu serosav, yasam libeinu avosai. Yasam avosai. Yeah, now, l'man. Now, if I want to convince you to do something, I have to give you, and I have a few reasons, I can give you a few reasons to do it. If I only give one reason, I have to give the best reason. How would you have finished this pasuk, or this memory? Yiftach ben sarasa, yasun ben avasa yirasa. Laman, you should go to Eilam Abba. Laman, I can think of very good, convincing reasons for Torah and Yerushalayim. But that's not what it says. Laman lo niga lerik lo neila lemahala. You shouldn't have just toiled in vain. You should know that most jobs in this world is a niga lerik. I might benefit from it. In other words, you get a salary. Probably even get most people probably get a better salary than some of you have. But
hard
to imagine such a thing. But you have to know that Lamaisa, they're wasting their time. The Niga Larik, it just produces something which is productive. But the actual work might not be productive. It might not even be satisfying. A Muslim does a work where you, at least you're saving lives, you're doing things which in itself is productive. But many, many people, if you spend your life, flipping commodities, you should know you didn't produce anything in this world. You didn't accomplish anything in this world. You profited from this world, but you didn't produce anything in the world. You weren't constructive in this world. The biggest thing is when a person looks back at life and they say, you know something? I wasted my time. You should know, as a Rav, as a communal Rav for over 25 years, and unfortunately I've been by many, deathbeds of people, more than I care to imagine. And sometimes people on their deathbed, people speak out their regrets. Never once did I hear, spend too much time in the Beis Medrash, I davened Shemin Esrei too long. I've never heard such things. But I've heard a lot of people, the main thing I hear is, I wasted time, I didn't accomplish, I wasted time, or I spent too much time at work and not with my family. Those are some of the two most things. And therefore, when we want to convince someone, we say, "Hu yiftach li beinu b'sirasai," is leman lo niga l'rik, that you shouldn't look back and look like I wasted my time, I toiled in vain. And therefore, when someone teaches Talmidim, they have this satisfaction. It's a certain contentment of leman lo niga l'rik. Every moment I'm accomplishing something. And like I say, its impact is not only in the class, it's around the clock. Its impact can go on for many, many, many years later, and it measures, gives someone, merits a person eternity. Now, someone asked me here that, in the olden days, it used to be, some people were in Avodah Zarah, and some people worked in financial matters. Today, you have a hybrid. You have people that work financially successful. They also give a share. You might have a big following. And when you're teaching your Talmidim, how do you set forth the ideal of a Talmud Chacham when, this person seems to have it all? Zeichel l'shtei shulchanos. Both in the Olam HaGashmi and in the Olam HaRuchni, there's a lot of Zechuyos. And in the Olam HaGashmi, he is also successful. And the Talmidim idolize these people. So how is a Rebbe supposed to deal with it? Now the truth is, if the Talmidim were a bit more older and sophisticated, they'd realize, like the Gemara in Bracha says, "Lav kol adam zeichel shtei shulchanos." Most people do not merit nishgashmias nishachnias. So therefore, these are exceptions. These are exceptions to the rule. They are not the rule bechlal. And you can look up to anyone you want, but when you're making choices in life, you have to be realistic. And in the real world, there are many choices to make. Furthermore, even though someone's life can look glamorous, you should know there's a lot of hardship in life. Not everything is financial. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants everyone a certain measure of nachas and a certain measure of hardships in life. You can just choose which hardship to have. That's all it is. But the amount that you're supposed to have, the amount of nesiyonos you're going to have in life, is exactly measured before you are born. And therefore, all you can do is choose how you want it. So some people will have it with, difficulties with children, some people have difficulties with health, some people, there's no such thing as a life without nisyanis. And if there was, it wouldn't be worth living b'chal, because the person only grows from nisyanis. So, like I say, the idolization, A, it doesn't mean you can replicate it. Two, you bechal not understand, the Talmud is not understanding bechal. What else is life? However, you are dealing with children. Children can be 20 years old also, up to 55 today as a child, so immature. So they just see, wow, I want this. So how are you supposed to look at it? So first of all, I think it's more important how you look at it yourself. Once you look at it yourself correctly, you'll be able to give it over to the Talmud without that much difficulty. So like he said, there's the first nekuda, are you nigalarik or not? Like I say, there is a tremendous satisfaction of when you're knowing that you're accomplishing something. You're knowing every minute you're doing Avodas Hashem. Rabbeinu Yoina says that simcha in Avodas Hashem is the knowledge that you're doing, that you're serving your purpose in life. That simcha doesn't mean joy, you don't have to dance around, you don't have to say mitzvah gedayla. Simcha tamid, it's just a sense of contentment. The Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Lulav, Perek Ches, also says exactly the same thing. When a person knows that they're fulfilling a purpose in this world, that gives them simcha. So you should know, while other people might be phenomenally successful, but they might not have that contentment of knowing I'm fulfilling my purpose. You know, in this week's parasha, you have Yisachar. Vayar menucha ki toiv, vayet shechmoy lespoil. Just steer it. If you see menucha is good, head to surf side. I mean, what does it mean? Vayar menucha ki toiv. So what does it mean vayet shechmoy lespoil? Zok de psal salanta, that there's a klal kol chelev l'Hashem. Whatever the carbon you should give, your best behema. When you give money, food to an ani, give them the best food. You build a shul that should be the nicest building in town. So Yisachar was thinking, what could he give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayar menucha ki toiv. He saw that menucha is good, so he gave that to Rabbi Yishlael, Vayet Shechmai Lispo. So a person has to know that when they're giving up their menucha to the Rabbi Yishlael, going like Yisachar, and you have this feeling of Laman Lainik Alarik, that is something which has a tremendous value. Once went collecting for one of many causes. This was on Stratford upon Avon in Connecticut. Very, very upscale. Neighborhood. Went to visit the Yid. They say he was very, very charitable. And he sat me down in his living room. His living room was 3,000 square feet. This was not a living room dining room, it was just the living room. It was 3,000 square feet. And, you know, it's hard not to notice the opulence there. And he said, I want you to know something. See that chair where you're sitting? Rabbi Aaron Cutler once sat there. He came collecting for the good yeshiva. And Rabbi Aaron looks around and he said, Vos zayn mit dein eilem hazeh? What's going to be with the Olam Hazeh? So he said, I looked at Rabbi Aaron, I said, Olam Hazeh, I'm doing quite well. What's going to be with my Olam Haba? I'm not so sure. So he said, Rabbi Aaron told me that your Olam Haba, I'm not so worried about. You support Torah, you have the schus of Torah. But what's the time with dein Olam Hazeh? You never open a Gemara. You don't have the enjoyment, the deep-seated enjoyment and satisfaction that I have. What's going to be with the Olam Hazeh? Could you do me a favor and start learning an hour a day? I'm worried, Pashut, of your Olam Hazeh. And he told me since then he was mekabel on himself that he learns. He said, don't learn an hour a day, but he learns every day. So you have to know that this is Olam Hazeh, not Olam Haba. Olam Haba, there are many ways of attaining Olam Haba. You can support things, you can help people, you can save lives. There are so many good things. You help people have children. There are so many good causes out there. But where's the person's Olam Hazeh? You know, I lived in Gateshead, there's Rav Gateshead, and there's a neighboring community called Newcastle. Newcastle is like a traditional community, which is very common in England. You have people that don't keep Shabbos, but they go to shul, they go to an Orthodox shul, which has a mechitza with from Rav. That's the nusach in England. It's called the United Synagogue. There could be 100,000 Yidden in England that don't keep Shabbos, but go to a from shul. It's very hard to understand such a thing, but there is such a concept. It's tradition. They only eat kosher at home with a hashir. Outside of the house, we'll eat treif. As a matter of fact, one person told me, it blew my mind. He said they fasted Yom Kippur to celebrate that they fasted Yom Kippur. They had ordered out Chinese treif, which is pork, but not to treif up the house. They used paper plates. So I told him, how did you live with such a spirit? So he said, by us, it wasn't the spirit. That was the minhag. That's what my father did. That's what my grandfather did. And that's the way it is. So there is such a concept. And there is such a concept, which again, in America, you don't find that people are either secular or religious. You don't find people that are traditional, go to shul. Some of them go to shul every day. Anyway, there's one yid there in Newcastle. Tucker was such a similar type yid. And none of that, he was makbid on davening with a minion. Like something out of this world. He once went for Pesach to Portugal for Pesach, and he paid 9 yungalait from Gates to come to his house at 5:30 in the morning so he should be able to daven with a minion. Didn't keep Shabbos. But everyone has their things. Anyway, he once comes to Gates on Purim, and one of the yungalait, sky high, asked him, tell me, do you learn? We know you give a lot of tzedakah, you give ambulance to Gates, and we know that you're down with a minion. Do you learn? He said, no, I don't have any time to learn. It doesn't interest me. The single man started crying, and then first he was crying, and then he was weeping, and then he was sobbing, and then he was lying on the floor crying, saying, there's a yid who doesn't learn. There's a yid here who doesn't have the enjoyment in learning. This person was so overcome, he promised that every Rosh Chodesh he's going to learn a half hour. You know, it's a tremendous chutz. We don't know what it is. A half hour. Once a month now he learns a half hour. What was the person, this younger man was so upset, the person has no Olam Hazeh. He wasn't worried about his Olam Haba. Like I said, he's a big benefactor of causes. But where's the person's Olam Hazeh? I'll tell you, when I started out in Rabbanus, so I worked with Kaladasi Shoran, and I was a Rav of the Muncie branch, I was a Dayan in the Bez in Washington Heights, but I was also in the Kashrus in charge of the catering and establishments division. Which means, I didn't actually supervise, but I was responsible for planning supervision on Simchas. Hine, someone's making a Simcha, and they called me up that they want the Hechsher to oversee the kashrus of the Hechsher. So I tell them, you should know, it's too expensive. You know, there are cheaper ways of doing it. Because if we're going to do it, we're going to have to lock up the hall 24 hours before, send down a mashgiach, then b'shas maisa, I'm going to have to kasher everything, and then I'm going to need 6 mashgiachim. I made a mechesh, it's going to cost 7 mashgiachim at $500 each. And there's going to be a Rosh HaMashgiach who's going to cost you $1,000. And there's a 500 Ashgacha fee. It's going to cost you $5,000. It's too much. So he starts laughing at me. He says, you should know, this wedding, my daughter's upset that the ceiling is very plain. So she ordered white roses to be stapled to the ceiling, hanging down, so when people look up, they'll see white roses. These white roses will cost me $48,000. So do you think $5,000 for Ashgacha is money to me? And they said, by the way, you know, you didn't put in a fee for yourself. I said, because I work on the salary. I'm here just to plan it out. I'm not going to work. It's not acceptable. They wrote out a check for $6,000 and added $1,000 to me. So I popped into the simcha. And I used to do a lot of such things on a grand scale. And I wondered like this, a very big chinuch question. I come home, and I describe to my children what happened. There's one of two ways I can do it. I can say, wow, what a beautiful, how wonderful it was, and how geschmack it was. What am I teaching my children? The importance of kashmir is of conspicuous consumption. Or I can come home Say, such a bunch of Mishigalim I worked for tonight. $48,000 they spent on roses. Should have given it to me. I could have done much better with it. I could do a thing. What's the problem with that? You teach children to be critical. They become critics, even if they're right, but they turn into critical people. So they can see a positive father and learn Gashmias, or they can see a critical, negative father and become critical. Whatever I do is no good. So I went to ask, there's a big Rosh Yeshiva in Muncie then called Shmuel Feivelson, and Shmuel Feivelson said, when you come home, you have to tell them how nice the Simcha was, and then tell them how happy you are for the people that they're able to afford such a thing. These are people who can afford it, they give tzedakah, and you're so happy for them. And then you have to explain to your children, but we are richer. And explain to them why you are wealthier than them. Like this, he gave them a good message of they should be accepting of others, be positive for others, yet at the same time feel pride in themselves. I believe, like I say, to be mechanech other people, you have to believe it yourself. Because if you believe it yourself, then varma yetzim min alev, nechnas min alev. We have to recognize that not that we have olam haba. A lot of people have olam haba. Maybe call yourself yeshlam chelik olam haba. The other job. But we have olam hazeh. Pasha, the fortune of being able to learn, to be able to give over learning, to want to foster growth in another person, that is olam hazeh. What we have is olam hazeh. And we have the feeling of the manly nigal rik, that we're not wasting time. It's not that we just frittered away our life. And we have to truly believe that we are wealthier. There are people that are very wealthy, and we look up to them, and we're machsh of them, and they should continue, and they should enjoy their wealth, and they should give tzedakah, and if I can't, they should be merit tremendous. But we happen to be wealthier than them. If we shall do so, then you should know, dvarma yetzim min alev, nasama min alev. And all I can tell you is, ashreichem, that you are zeicha to be the matzdika rabbi when rabbi chavim loylam bod. And in that schus you should also have in your own families, deiris yisharam and berachim. Now we can open any question anyone wants, whether on chinuch or I think you're learning on the Shabbos, whatever suits you.
Is it shy to give that to Talmidim, that same Ashkoda? If their families are not coming with the same...
Yes. Again, they'll be opposing Ashkafas. Everyone is influenced by many, many different factors. Your family, your friends, prevailing society, and your Rebbe. So can you give it over? Yeah, if you believe it, you'll give it over. Will you be 100% successful? No, because there are opposing Ashkafas. And you should know, a Talmud also has Bechira. We have to forget, we're starting to forget that people have Bechira, and we blame everything that a child does on outside influences. And of course it's true that there are outside influences, but these outside influences are not psychic determination. These are influences. But a person has Bechira. I think the Rikanti says that the biggest Chilul Hashem is Bechira. Hashem says, L'Seichel Nevela, and I can go eat a Nevela. But he says, it's a Nishka Chilul Hashem, because that's Hashem's Ratzon HaPnimi. That's what Hashem wants. So we have to know that Talmidim have Bechira. You cannot exercise Bechira on other people's behalf. All you can do is influence and present them something. And there'll be other influences, and then they'll decide themselves. And you should know people exercise their Bechira on different days in different ways. No one is perfect, and you influence the person, they exercise their Bechira. Could be a different day, they exercise it differently. And plus, there's life, you know, life is long. And people can make foolish decisions when they're young, but when they get older, they make better decisions, and that's based on the influences that they had when they're young. Yeah. So you have nothing to worry about. As long as you don't think I can make my Talmud do anything. I can't do anything. I can influence. Rav came to me recently and said, because of a certain thing going on in the community, he's losing control over his balabatim. I said, Echmanus on you that you're Baldinian, that you think you ever had control over your Baldatim. You can influence Baldatim. That's all you can do. Control them. The Rosh says, "Be'etzem, I would be learning Hilchos Shabbos would be machmer in Shehiyah till it's mevushal kol Torachai." Well, my esse, what should I do that Bnei Yisrael adukim in Einig Shabbos, and they're not going to listen to me? So therefore, I paskin like Hananya that it's enough to be machmer ben desai. So the Rosh also can control. The Rosh cannot control his balabatim. They like Chalm. They're not interested in his chumras and. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Rama says in Yeridei about pot covers, the Rama brings a minig that on pot covers we say that even Einim Ben Yoyma is awesome. And he says, V'i Ayasha Cheli Ivatle, if I was strong enough, I would be Mevatle. It's a minig, but what could I do? It's a minig. So you should know, not everyone listens to the Rosh, not everyone listens to the Rama, not everyone listens to the Rav, not everyone listens to the Rebbe. And if you know that, and you just know, but I am have the opportunity of influencing someone, and they could take it or leave it. That's one thing. Another thing is when I started out upon this. So sometimes, even though I spoke about the Nigel Arik, sometimes you're feeling a Nigel Arik because you're talking your heart out and you're preaching your heart out and you're not getting anywhere. And one of the Valbatim, he had a bit of insight. He came over to me and he says, you know, the Rav probably feels he's accomplishing nothing. So I want to tell you something. We work in Manhattan and a whole week, we fall in Ruchnias. And then we come to Shul Shabbos, and you darsh in a whole Shabbos, and you lift us up. And then we go up to Manhattan the next week, and we fall again. And then you lift us up again. Imagine if you wouldn't exist where we would be. So don't think you're wasting your time. You're not. You're accomplishing things. We are pushing, not changing, because, like I say, it's a seesaw in life. So, yes, you do have influence.
Do you have a Rebbe in
that the boy that's coming over says something
that you don't agree with, and you want to say that to them, but you don't want to be involved with that Rebbe in a nice way, similar to this shadow with the Gvir Mendel.
Yeah.
Could you say something? Should you not say something?
Again, he's quoting a different Rebbe?
A different Rebbe that you don't agree with. Something about
Hashkafa
or certain
Indian
that you don't think is correct, and they're quoting him.
Maybe
it's right and you're wrong.
Yeah, that's also a possibility. So again, there's two Mahalchim. There's one, like saying, is I want to share with you a different perspective, and you think it over. That's just a different perspective. Everyone has different perspectives. Like today, everyone has their own truth. So even though that's not true, because truth is objective, but you certainly have a perspective. You can share a perspective. So that is the thing. But that's only with a semi-mature mind. If there are times that people, someone called me up, they got divorced. What did they get? And now his wife is asking Harav Pliny, who's very different in the family, and almost everything is mutter, and he's very, very upset. And I tell him, you push it to shaita. Be happy that your wife is asking her of something. Yeah? Because at least now there are some boundaries. It's taka not like the rabbanim you were used to, or when you were married, that ashkafa. But at least they're asking someone. And at least she'll have some boundaries, and there'll be episode mahalach in the life. In life. So don't knock it. Certainly don't knock it to your children. Reinforce it. Oh, they asked the Rav. The Rav said. In fact, it's a Rav, you wouldn't want to count for a minion. Is that right? But he's an Orthodox Rav. It's just that, you know, it's a totally different style. Rav. So again, if you're going to undermine by that person this... is a munis chachamim or being kafuf tarav, then unless the person is mamish preaching gimel averis, it's not worth it. If it's not so, so like I say, you say, I have a different perspective. But cholius, you have to, sometimes you know, the worst things in life turn out to be the best things in life, or things that you think are bad. So I once flew from England to Eretz Yisrael on EasyJet. I don't know if you know what an easy jet flight is like. It's like a charter bus. More so, I didn't book a seat in advance, and I was stuck in the middle seat. No, nothing worse than an easy jet, middle seat on an easy jet flight. So I sat down, I figured, I'm in for a thing, but it's only 4.5 hours there, it's all, so it's not a problem. Kitzer, who sits down in the window seat next to me, was Reb Simcha Cook of Rehovot. And I had a captive audience, because I was in the middle seat, for about 4.5 hours, except when we got up to Daven Mincha together, someone took a picture. But anyway, and he told me, it's very interesting to note, that the city in Eretz Yisrael who has the greatest percentage of children attending a religious school, could be a Mizrahi school, could be whatever, but a religious school is Rehovot, not Yerushalayim. And he explained to me, one of the discussion we had on the plane is, what is his secret to success? And he said, my secret to success is, I've told people, Rehovot is a very intellectual city, the Weizmann Institute is there. I've told people all along, I respect you and I respect your decisions. However, you can only make a decision if you have information. And then you decide what to do. I would like to present you with a perspective. I want to present you with some information you might not be aware of. If you'll listen and you'll decide to reject it because you think it's wrong or whatever, I will accept you totally. But if you close your mind, you don't want to hear something, then it's hard to respect the person. He said, I've been doing this, he told me that for 50 years. And mid the Zeit, he came to a city where only 10% of kids went to religious school, and when he left, it was over 50%. That was his key to success. And he wasn't, again, he was a superstar in Kiruv, but he was a Rav. He wasn't a backslapper, he didn't give out sushi platters, he wasn't that type of chlal. He wasn't a modern-day Kiruv. He was a person who went to school. He would go to, the most chiloini school and speak on Erev Yom Kippur. They should know what Yom Kippur is, even though they're all going to eat on Yom Kippur. But you should know what it is. And he said, mid the Zeit, people, it penetrates. Torah, Ma'or Shabbat, Machzir, Lamutav. He says he remembers people who were so antagonistic became from themselves, and then their kids were in Kailal. So you have to know, especially depending on what age you're dealing with, is that you present information, you present a perspective, and let the person decide, and they will decide. And Chal Torah is a tremendous koyach, you know? Torah is a tremendous koyach. I remember I taught in Ar Sameach in Muncie for 14 years. Take a kid off the street, Veiz Ganish, and you teach him Sachdus Gittin, or you teach him Bava Kama, Shor Shanagach Zapara, and he becomes from. You didn't teach him Pirkei Avos with the Derech Hashem or whatever. They taught him Gemara. There's this kayach of Torah, which Hamor Shabbat Machzir Lamotiv. And you have to believe in that kayach, present the thing, and then accept what the person decides and realize Hashem gave him Bechira. As strange as it seems to us, Bechira is such a strange thing, but this is what Hashem wants, and you should know, in the long run, they're all yours. I'm telling you, like I said, I've been in shuls, I've been in places, and if you just, you don't fight with people, or you don't knock people, and you just keep on presenting the same ideas in many, many, many different ways, in a way that I'm just presenting it, and it's up to you, over time, you influence people.
Ramesha has in his long tour about opening packages, after he's matter and says not to do it, I think he says that I'm yomt if you can be makel. Are we samech on that?
What do you call packages? Just in American English. Just tell me what is what do you mean a package? You mean a can? You mean a bag of potato chips? You mean a box of matzahs? What? A metal can. I don't see the difference between yontif and shav. Again, there is a machlekes of yesh binyan stira bekelim, but the shulchan aruch paskins menagei amir lamaakum, we say ein binyan stira bekelim, and Yisrael. Yisrael has to be machmer. Then there are exceptions of a mustaki, something which is weak, and then you have an exception called chesalos shel tmorim. Now, what is the heter of chesalos shel tmorim? Is a machlekes itself. Is it because it's a keli ruach, because it is made for one-time use? Is it a keli ruach because it's very soft, or because it's a tuffle to the food? That is a machlekes rishonim. But, and this will have many, many nafka minas in this. I used to, when I lived in Gateshead, had the opportunity of working alongside, technically I was his superior, but he was much more senior than me, with Rabbi Falk. and we used to argue almost every day. And we enjoyed it because we both had the same thought process, just always came to a different conclusion. He didn't like talking to other people because they didn't have a halachic thought about the Rosh Hashivas. He couldn't take it. Couldn't take when someone makes a lumdus out of something when it's practical. Yeah? But I could always tell someone, Shnayim Oyosim Batal, Zayim Kulishali, Yachloiku is not a sugya about the lumdus of Yachloiku, is it a achra or is it an haga? It's a sugi about two people fighting over a coat in a coat room. They come to shul, and at the end of davening, there's two people with only one coat. That's what it's talking about. To understand the applications, when do you say Yachloiku, and when do you say Kol Dalam Gova, when the thing, you might have to understand the lumness of Yachloiku. But if you have a rabbinic thought process, there are two people fighting over a coat. So we used to have the same thought process, sometimes get to different results. One of the biggest arguments we used to argue about packages and the like are what is the real heta of Chesal Shel Tvarim. He was going, Chesal Shel Tvarim is weak things, and therefore it doesn't apply to many things. But if you go, it's one-time usage, it has more application. But if you go with the Rishonim that it's because it's tuffle to the food, it has many more applications. The biggest argument used to be whether Chesal Shel Tvarim is a heter in Korea. His thesis was that Hitakahel Batsim Akans and all these things are Chesal Shel Tvarim. You should know. He didn't hold those also like the Chazanish says that it's a Keli and thing, because first of all he acknowledged that if you learn the Chazanish you'll see that they used to reuse coffee cans to put in the nails. And the like, and therefore it's a Pesach which is Asi L'Hachnas L'Haitzi, and Mamela it's a Shaila V'Deraisa. And today, no one reuses things, so Mamela it's only a Pesach Asi L'Haitzi, so it's a Shaila V'Drabanan, and if it's a Shaila V'Drabanan, wherever you're going to have a Machlekes, it should be Mutter. That's where he started from. And like I say, his process was totally halachic. His thing was Korea. And he acknowledged, and like I said, we have letters back and forth to each other, I think they recently published in Chelek Gimel of his Sefer, that really what we're arguing about is what is the real Heta in Chesal Shel Tvarim. If it's Alts Tafel to the food, then there's no Issa Kareya. If it's because it's a Keli Ru'ua, so that's only a Heta in Binyan Stira, it's not a Heta in Kareya, because Kareya you can have on anything.
Why
was
it not a
heter
in Korea? Meaning it was not a
heter
in Korea,
so it's not
about
what? Why there was it? Because you destroyed it totally. He was going with the Chaya Adam, that there you destroy it totally. That is the thing. Now there's a whole other thing that it says, let's say, take a roll of paper towel and you pull off one piece. So it says in Shin Mem that it is Makkah B'Patish. Why doesn't it say Korea? So the Bir Halacha says, because Kareya is only when you need both sides. Only one side, it's Makkah V'Patish. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that this Kareya is only on two different objects. If it's one object, there's no such thing as Kareya. So, again, in our arguments, one, I felt the Chesal Shel Tvarim, the main reason is because it's a tuffel. Then, be mitzarev to that, the Balatanya, that's something that's made out of the same material, there is no Kareya, and therefore you should come to the conclusion that there's no Kareya in any of these things. He felt that the reason behind Chesal Shel Tvarim is because it doesn't have a Shem Keli, but it doesn't take away that you could have Kareya, and he, for whatever reason, didn't like the Spalatanya of one piece. Therefore, he was explaining Chesal Shel Tvarim according to the Chaya Adam because you're destroying it, and therefore it's only mutter if you destroy it. Now, what this has to do with Yom Tov, I don't know, because the Chayra, all these things, Binyan, Stira, Kareya, all these things are really Yom Tov. Now there is a mahalach in binyan. Yitzchak Elchanan talks about that binyan on yontif is only a drabanan, because there are binyans that are theoretically mutter on yontif, like making cheese, which is also al's bina. which is Eichel, Tzarech Eichel Nefesh, and it's only an Issa Drabanan, and mid the Hutra Latzarech, Hutra Shaloi Latzarech. If you put, we're in a sukkah here, that's where you put up the Schach on Yom Tov. What are you over? Are you over the Raisa, are you over the Drabanan? So one question is, I'm only putting it up for 8 days, Binyan, what's called a Binyan Kva? So that's a Machlokes the Prima Kodem and the Binyan Siyan. If all I want it for, all it's useful for, is 7 days, does that make it kva? But there's another total mahalach, the binyan is only a drabanan on Yom Tov. Now, if binyan is only a drabanan on Yom Tov, then I can hear that there's a mahalach to say that on Yom Tov will be mekel and on Shabbos will be machmer. Whether Ramesha thought that, I have no idea, because I'm not Ramesha. I know people ask me, what did Ramesha say today? I can't tell you, I'm not Ramesha. Tell you what I think he should say today, but I can't tell you what he would say today because I'm not him and I don't know as much as him and whatever. I can just tell you what I think on the matter. When my last shiur, I used to have a kollel in Lakewood before I moved to England. Every Monday night I used to give a shiur in Lakewood on Yeridea. And you know, like who came to it. In the last shiur, we did a question and answer session. And one of the Talmidim asked me, what would a Moshe Feinstein say today about smoking cigarettes? Would he say that it's awesome? I answered immediately, I don't know, because I'm not a Moshe Feinstein. I think it's usher, but I can't tell you what a Moshe would say. But I want to tell you like this. Let's say I would call you a fool, would you be insulted? I said, yeah. I said, let's say not I call you a fool, I paskin you're a fool. A psak. You'd be more insulted. I said, well, you know, Moshe Feinstein, as the God of Adar, says the only heter to smoke is Shem Epsayim Hashem. So I personally think it's usher. But even if you think you're not, Bistar Uzge Paskin Tefesi. And not by me. But the Igis Moshe. So you want to do so be my guest. Yeah, I'm very accepting. This Mahalach. I want you to know that it's usher according to all these. And even according to Moshe Feinstein, if you're going to argue with me and say no, Moshe would still say his psak, you should know, yeah, is gepaskim to pesi. Then I said, I have one more thing, because the ilum here are on Dunham. Someone once asked of Shmuel Birnbaum, learned in the Mir, in my Shiva, are you allowed to smoke? He said, I'm not a Pesik. That was his always answer. I'm not a Pesik. I'm not a Pesik. So he said, but the person said, but Shmaratamay Lanav Shesechem? She said, yes, so what's your Shaila? So he told them all the Svaras that Yeshiva Bachram say. You don't smoke on Shabbos, and a Yud has a different guf, and what's it called? So Shmuel said, Kvinishka Pesik, I don't answer Shailas. It's not my field. But I could tell you that a Bacha that says such Svaras, he'll never be a Lamdan. In Alamdan b'nechiyach. He'll never be Alamdan, he'll never be able to say a Shiram Bava Kama if you say such krumas words. That I wish I could tell you. You want to know it's awesome? Mutter awesome? I don't know. That's how I used to answer questions. Yeah.
On the top of a champagne bottle, they have like a metal web that they put on top, and then it's twisted.
Right. So the question is, Pesul Chavolim Chayav Mishum Kosher, does it apply to this? Which again, I think it's already written in contemporary Pesukim. The question is, Pesul Chavolim Chayav Mishum Kosher, is it because I'm making a rope? Or any time I intertwine two things about another, that is Kosher? That's question number one. Question number two is, Poisel Chavolim, you have to wrap it very tightly for it to, you can only wrap one thing around another. Metal cannot be wrapped. You don't need to wrap it one to another. I can take one piece of metal and give it a shape also. So the question is, A, is the Issa of Poisel Chavolim only because I'm making a rope? Here I'm not making a rope. Number two is Poisel. The word Poisel can mean something that I wind one into another. A metal thing, it holds its own shape. I'm not winding it one into another. I think they use these twist ties.
Same as the twist tie.
The same as a twist tie, I remember when I sat, I learned more Yerideya by Reb Chatzko Roth, smicha from him on Yerideya Chelik Beis. I remember him screaming at someone, that, again, while he was asking a shayla in Taras HaMishpacha, he screamed at someone that you don't understand, you can't have Pesach HaVolim on metal. So I assume that was his svara. But it's the same kind of shayla as a tista. Personally, I don't think it's a problem, but...
The boy has, he has to take medicine, and in order to be in school, he has to have medicine. He can't take it on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to eat on a fast day?
What type of again? His ADHD.
Yeah. Or the other automobile, stay home.
So you pour the rubbing won't be able to fast.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning. Hold with medicine. Is Ritalin medicine? I've committed on Shabbos. Someone has bad ADHD, so they're like a chayla. Or they can't function. And that's what a chayla means. When we say neufel l'mishkov, the Aruch HaShulchan says, lav dafka neufel l'mishkov. You can sit in a chair, you just can't function. So someone has a bad case of it, they cannot function.
Can't function in a school setting or can't function in...
It impedes function. Anything that impedes function is called a chayla. I'll tell you another pshat in a moment, but for anything that impedes function. So some people, it impedes function. But the other people, it doesn't impede their function, it just makes things very challenging for them and for other people. So the question on taking on Shabbos, there are various questions. If you take medicine every day, are you allowed to take it? If Shlomo Kluge says yes, Chazanish says no. But there's a different question. Is this a refuah? Or no? It's a pill that changes personalities. Is there a chayli, a meichish with a refuah? It's chalnish kameichish. It's just a personality. And the truth is, like you said, out of school, some of these people are very, very, very successful. More hyper-creative. They're just a nuisance in the class. Or even it's hard for them in the class. So is this a trufa b'chol? Well, no, it's b'chol not a refuah. It's something that does something to a person's personality. That's in Chuvus Maram Brisk. It says that a contraceptive pill is not a refuah. It doesn't cure anything. There's no machla, there's no cure. It does something. So does this do something b'chol?
It's like someone's nervous, and he takes medicine to calm down.
So that's a machla, at least, that would think. But this is not a machla, this is a personality. Before we knew this, what did we say about such a boy in class? He's a wilde kaza, he's a wild goat, right? He's still just a wild goat, just we happen to know how to define it and maybe even how to cure it. The funny thing is that Ritalin or Concerta, all these medications are stimulants. They're not sedatives. It's not like a person with anxiety and you give him a sedative, you give him some diazepam or lorazepam and he calms down a little bit. This is a stimulant. And why you would give someone hyperactive a stimulant, that goes to Shaila, and the truth is no one knows. There is a theory that these people are not hyperactive, they need more stimulation than other people. They're not overstimulated, they're understimulated. Therefore, they need constant stimulation. And therefore, if I give them a stimulant, then they are calm, they are like everyone else. That's one theory. The other theory is we don't know. There are two theories. I don't know if it's necessarily a refuah. That's number one. Number two, so now let's go. It's a fast day, you can't take it on an empty stomach. So I would be toilet to eat on a fast day. You have to be a chayla. What type of chayla? Chayla shein be sakana. Same need to whatever it takes to take medication on Shabbos allows you to eat on a minor fast day. So you have to tell me how much this impedes the person's function. If it impedes the person's function, that's called the chayla. If he's called the chayla, then he's allowed to take medication on Shabbos. So then he doesn't have to fast for the same reason. Now, on chayla, I'll tell you a very interesting thing. There is a shayla, a person's taking antibiotics, and they're in the middle of the dose, and at the moment they're feeling all right. Can they continue taking it? And the answer is yes. question is just why. Shlomo Kluger says once you started taking, you're going to continue. There are various answers.
So Shabbat, taking your wife on
Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Yes. So once Rabbi Gedalia Nadal, famed Talmud of the Chazon Ish, was in Mansi for medical treatment. So I went to him and I said, "We want to. Could you come say a shir in the Kollel?" He said, "Absolutely not." So I said, "Why not?" "Yeah, Mansi, you're not doing it. Yeah, why not?" He says, "Because you don't want to hear a shir from me. You know that there's a mafursim called Rabbi Gedalia Nadal. And they say he knows how to learn, and the Yungalite want to know if he really knows how to learn." He says, "Just tell the Yungalite, Gedalia Nadal kenish lernen. And it will save me the hour and save you the hour." I saw we're dealing with a very unique person. I've never gotten such an answer in my life. So I said, "B'chal nishlem is, we're not interested in Rabbi Gedalia Nadal. We have certain chazanishes we don't understand. And by us, it's a pella. Remember, in America, we're not used to the whole thought process. Could you explain us the thought process?" "Oh, kum gleich." Okay. So one of the questions we asked them was, what did the Chazon Ish hold about taking antibiotics, continuing antibiotics on Shabbos when you're feeling all right? And he said, he used to say it's mutter. So I said, because of Shlomo Kluger, who says that just like you're allowed to put on a bandage, you're allowed to continue medication. But Chazon Ish was totally against that. Hatzushtel, using the same bandage, the different pill. I said, "What about Kura Moshe Feinstein? Because it's a machla pnimi. Ach, mamish thing." So I said, "So why?" He said, "I'll tell you something interesting. Chazon Ish held that this it says in Shulchan Aruch that a chayla is allowed to take medication. What's a chayla? Cholish kol gufay or neifel mishkov?" He says that was a simen. That's not what makes you a chayla. A chayla is a chayla. Just how do I know if someone's a chayla and only a mechish? It depends if he's lying in bed. But if I know someone's a chayla, chdafnish has a lying in bed. He can be walking around. He says if you're taking antibiotic for a bacterial infection, and he says you have a bacterial infection in your throat, and I can take blood out of your finger and see it over there, you should know the mensch is a chayla. If he's a chayla, what does he have to be sick for? And therefore, he can take medication. It's a very novel svara. It has a ring of truth to it. But it was pushed to that whole shiur was kedai. It was kedai for it.
Why should anxiety be different than like ADHD? Because the medicine is just dulling the feelings.
Yeah, again, I was going the other way. Is there a machla in the first place? Anxiety is considered an illness. Now, when is anxiety a personality and when is it considered an illness? You can ask this about all of most of mental health conditions cannot be seen on an MRI or in a blood test. So what does it mean a person's who's depressed and who's sad and who is in? How do you know on Tisha B'Av the person is sad or he's depressed? So the general, how do you know that a person has an anxious nature or he has anxiety? What does it mean? The answer is it really depends if it impedes function. That's all it is. When a natural feeling either is too prolonged or it impedes the person's function, we call that a mental illness. We call Shema Yisrael a mental illness. Again, there are certain mental illness you can see on the brain. Schizophrenia, there are certain ones. But most of them are not so. It's just simply when a natural phenomena that happens to everyone is excessive, that's what we call a mental illness. Anxiety is, some people worry more, some people worry less. That's a nature. When it hits a point where the person doesn't function, at that point, that's what we call anxiety. Usually at that point he's a chayla. Because otherwise he wouldn't be taking medication. They don't give, like I say, Xanax to people who just worry because that's their nature. It doesn't go like that. So therefore, usually, it's mutter anyway. But it's fundamentally different because it could be that ADHD is b'chal not a machla. It's a description. It's a push at a description of a personality which we have defined it in certain ways.
A computer function even out of school.
It does, yeah. Many times it does. So then the person's a chayla. The person's a chayla. So yes, the person should and could take the medication for it. I'm not pushing pills, I'm just saying that that you have to define, like say, the definition of a chayla is impeding function. The definition of a mental illness is impeding function. It has no other definition on non-chemical illnesses. I'll tell you another interesting thing the cousin said. He asked him, is it true that even in Chutz Loretz, he didn't read by an electric light because of Shema Yata? So he said yes. So why? We asked why. He said, because Chazal just say, La Yikra Lara on there, doesn't say Shema Yata. That's what the Gaon says that. That's why he said Ani Ekra Layata, because he thought the Shema Yata was part of the Gzera, and it wasn't true. There's Lo Yikul Araner. This is called the Araner. So he said, but the Marshal says that you can read by a candle because it's not Shayach Shema Yata on it. Well, it's not necessary to be Mata. So you see that, the Marshal said, Mishnah Berurah Paskins like this, that even Lo Yikul Araner is only the type of Ner that you could have Shema Yata. He looked at us, he said, the Chazon Ish did many things. Which ones did he write in his Sefer, and which ones did he just do and not tell anyone? He says, today this became a new thing that people print out books of what the Chazon Ish did. He said, it's very, very simple. There are certain things that he felt, this is the halacha, and others are mistaken. There are certain things that he felt, this is what I hold, but the other tzad makes every bit as much sense. He says, this is one of them. He says, you won't find in the Sefer Chazon Ish that he said you shouldn't read by an electric light. He never told anyone to do it. In his whole life, he never told anyone to do such things. His Talmidim saw him, and they emulated him. Then it became an industry to write down all the anhagas of every person who ever existed, and now it became a thing. And now you're asking me, why did he hold so? He's arguing on the Mashal. He wasn't arguing on the Mashal, the Halacha did the Mashal, the Mashal. The Halacha did state the Mishnah Berurah. Chazon Ish said that the Mishnah Berurah has a din of the Sanhedrin. He himself didn't do it, and therefore, leave it alone. As one of the Yisaidis, he was mechadish to us that a lot of things that Chazon Ish, did for himself.
Let's say opening a bottle cap. Why is there no issue of? Is there an issue of career there aside from the makapatis of making the?
No, because according to both reasons, the bialach and the balatam, you don't have it. If you don't have career, because I only need the top part. I don't need the bottom part. I don't need the ring. And according to Balatanya, it's one piece. So therefore, whatever the answer in Chin Mem is, would apply to the bottle cap. Therefore, the only shaila in a bottle cap is. Is it called making a keli? Or no, the keli was there. Keli already pre-existed, and it was just tightened. That is the whole machlokes. Say from. I once asked Shmuel Auerbach, tell me, in bottle caps, is the difference between metal caps and plastic caps? He said, what should be the difference? I said, wait a minute. One was stamped on, and one was preformed. Was formed already before. I said, it's a nice svara. I said, very nice svara. That was your father's svara. He said, honestly, I never heard from my father this svara. I can tell you that he opened plastic bottle caps and he didn't open metal ones. But I never heard why from him. And therefore, I can tell you, this is the facts of life. And I asked his son-in-law, Abzalman Chemi Goldberg, who I learned Dayanis by, and he confirmed it. But they said that he didn't say the Svara. He just did it. Could be this. It's a nice, he told me, Sashay in the Svara, why my father did it. But why he did it, I don't know. He said, tell me a lot of such things that. Tell me a very interesting thing. I asked Shmarbach, when Avil Yashiv died, he was unquestionably the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world. To the point that you were maspid him, that If he would have lived in the times of Chassam Sofer, he would have been a Talmud Chacham. So was everyone mechuyev in Kriya? It says in Shulchan Aruch that on the Gadol Hador has a din of a Rabbi Mavik. So he said, I ripped Kriya. I consider myself a Talmud, but anyone who asked me, I told them not to. They said, why? He says, when the Chabina Rav died in 1966, I believe he was also unquestionably the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world. In 1966, everyone else was gone. You know, Chaznish was long gone, Viskarov, Rav Aaron Cutler, and he was unquestionably the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. So I asked my father, should we rip Kriya? He said, the Talmidim, yes, everyone else, no. I said, why? He says, nothing to do with the Chabina Rav. When you start ripping Kriya on people you didn't learn by, so eventually it leads to competition, who's the Gadol Hador, who's not, and it leads to Machlekes. You go to Levaya, you don't rip Kriya, then people start screaming at you, Shegetz. It's better that you shouldn't, nobody should keep this halacha than to have Machlekes. And therefore he said, if you're a Talmud, so you're ripping Alt's Talmud. But if you're not a Talmud just to show that this is the Gadol Hador, or you believe he's the Gadol Hador, it's not kedai because it causes machlekes. Ask the same question to Rabbi Avram Gurwitz, Rashiv of Gateshead. Ask him, do you believe he was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world when he died? He said yes. She said, did you rip Kriya? He said no. He said, why not? So he said that the Aruch HaShulchan says that we don't make a bracha shechalak mechachmasai on anyone who's not a Talmud Chacham of the Gemara, unlike all the other Shittas. He said, not to rip my frak, I was Samech on the Aruch HaShulchan. I believe Kriya is totally in the same thing, and I, of course, I can't go around ripping up clothing. I don't have that many, you know, I don't have that much clothing every time a great man dies. And therefore, I was Samech on the Aruch HaShulchan. But it was this interesting thought that we should not do certain things.
The Shulchan Rav Svara min echol, one thing, you have by plastic and these things which are fused together.
Yes, because it's talking by Levadim. He's quoting, coming from a Yerushalmi, it's talking about Levadim, and that's what a Levadim is. That's the Shailen Ksamim, where the Levadim are Kabul Tumah. Because is it like a beggar or not?
But the Be'er Lacha quotes in Be'er Lacha Kusma is talking about R.
Yeah.
That's naturally one thing.
Yeah.
I once had a Talmud, I pulled out a snack and he had fresh raspberries and blackberries. Seven-year-old boy. Is there anything that in the moment that I'm not ready to do, should do? My parents just don't know better, not...
So before, again, the chinuch question is probably harder than the halacha question. The halacha question, first of all, katan eichel nevelis, in bezin tzuvin lafrisha. The question is, once he's higiyah lechinuch, do people have a chiyuv, or just the father has a chiyuv? That's a machlekes in siman shin mem gimel. The chayadam says, the Mishnah brings him down, that in the deraisa you should be machmer, that yes, in the derabanan, that not. So first I have to ask you, do you hold that raspberries are issa d'raisa and issa d'rabbanan? In other words, is this called eating be'en, or it's called teruvis, but berry afilu be'elef loy batel? That's a d'rabbanan. So first you have to decide what you hold about eating raspberries. Is that a d'raisa or is it d'rabbanan? Next, there is a svara to say that Imre Bina brings it down and rejects it, but the Yeshua Yaakov said it, that you don't have shekein nena on an insect, and therefore you don't have the din of beria for the belt play button. Next, the Rashba holds there's no din of chinuch on loisaseis, only on aseis. So now, let me throw the question back to you as an expert mechana. As a rav, I can argue. You tell me what you want, what conclusion you want. The Rav Gusman used to say, first I paskin the person, and then I paskin the shayla, because he had enough knowledge to paskin either way. So like I can say, what's haste? It's a plain issa deraisa, and he's a gil, a chinuch, and the chayadon says you have to be mechanachim. I can argue it's not a deraisa, it's a derabanan. I could argue it's a misasik, and there's no shekain nene. We could argue that there's no chinuch on loisa says. So now, I'm asking you, als expert mechanach, is it the right thing or the wrong thing to stop him? Because al tzalacha, don't worry so about. Like I say, with the Rabbeinu Shleilam is easy. It's much easier to deal with the Rabbeinu Shleilam than to deal with people. The Yisrael Nekim, Hashem Yisrael, the Yisrael, Hashem is very easy to work with.
Is this maybe there's tamtum alayim?
Maybe there is. But
the,
is there a din of?
I
understand. So that's a chinuch question. It's not a halacha question. Is there an isser of tamtum alayim? Assuming that it's mutter. And it's a misasik. Would be an issur to be matam to live, or it's a metaphysical reality?
Saying else that he wants to get through to his
Talmud, and therefore yes.
Doesn't it seem to like Tully and Malach?
Again, it's mashma not like that, because it says in some Pei Aleph in Yeridaya that a Jewish child should not nurse from a mitzvah al tzim to malev. And the Shach says that even a Jewish lady who has to eat tarfus al tzpkoch nefesh shouldn't nurse her child. So it's mashma, even though something is mutter, you still have. It's mashma that it's still turned to malayv. Misasik is also a thing. Now, if you have bittel b'shishim, or you have nice and tam of gum, whether you have turned to malayv, that's an unprovable question. But there, it's in the cheftza. The chefetz is changed. Where it's just a din in the maisa, the chayra you do have.
I'm here. It's if the chefs of these bachers are mutter, it's a masking. So that they don't have to believe.
No, if the bachers not mutter, the bachers not muzer. Chayfitz is a chayfitz shel isra. It just happens to be a boy. A bacher is not mutter. So now you simply have a chinuch question: is this the right chinuch, or is this not? It might depend on what family he comes from, what's he ready to be mekabel. Is it going to be worth it or not? Or this is not what you should stelzach. Once heard from Shalom Shadran that he said he was in a certain place speaking about Shmir Shabbos, and then they opened a mixed pool and he spoke about Teruvis and he lost everyone. But he felt it's the right thing to do. He went to ask the Briskrav, did he do the right thing? And the Briskrav said, you are over Nasata Venasata Bamuna. So he said, over Nasata Bamuna. I didn't charge for my speech, it had nothing to do with business. He said, Nasata Bamuna is, are you businesslike in your Amuna? A businessman doesn't drop a big customer for a little customer. All of a sudden, when it comes to Amuna, we become tipshit. He said, you have to be businesslike in your Amuna also. Shabbos is the biggest customer. Taruvis or Pritzis is a smaller customer. You don't drop a big customer for a small customer. So now you have to know with this boy, where he's holding, with his family. Will you insult them? Well, no, they'll be happy. Sometimes you point out, oh, I didn't know those Shailan raspberries. That's a thing. Or no, it'll equal Melchama, and then they'll denigrate the Rebbe, and then the Rebbe will lose big customers because he shtalzach on small customers. But then, once you make that cheshbon, then you have to figure out which halachic principle to use. The Marsham writes, when he used to paskin agunas, the first thing he paskin decided is the guy dead or alive. Once I decided that he's dead, then he took all the bekiyas that the Masham had and wrote a tshuva and this shita and that shita and that serif and this swara and this shita. But first I decided myself, is the guy dead or alive? Because if he's alive, all these impressive tshuvas are not going to help anyone. So you should know in all these things, that's what I mean, first you paskin the person, then you paskin the shaila, is first you have to know what is the right thing over here. Of course, something's absolutely us. It's absolutely us. But we're talking about things which, with the art studim lakan, on many of these, you know, things and barrier, whatever. There's numerous heterim, and therefore, or not heterim, but tzirufim lahakol. So you have to decide what's the best kind of. But don't lose your big customers for little customers.
This applies to all of these types of questions.
Yeah. You have to have a shikul adas. What is kedai the thing? Because you do too much, a person is not capable. You know, in much less when you're Makarev people, so you don't tell them about Boira first, you tell them about lighting Shabbos candles. I recently did a question and answer session at a Kirov conference. He said, what's the Makar for such a thing? Is there a Makar, or this is what works? And we just do what works. So I said, wait a minute, because it's often a Makar. And Yeridei, it's an Eresh Samachas, and Hilchus Geirus, it says a Geir that's not Makabal the whole Torah. Even Makabal the whole Torah except one mitzvah, he's not a Geir. Zat the Pesachichuv of an art, that's because he's not Jewish yet, he's becoming Jewish. But once he is Jewish and you're being Makar of him, you should do one thing at a time and only what he's ready to be Makabal. So this Swara, the person got up and said, you know, I've been doing this for 50 years, I'm glad to know that there's a Makar. I'm glad to know that there's a Makar for it. But you should know, yes, there is a Makar for it. So you have to decide with the people. In a Rav and a Shul, should he Shtalzach and not talking during Chazaras HaShatz? So no, that's Bechal. I'll just speak about that. I'll be a fanatic and I'll lose them on Taras Mishpacha. Matter of fact, when I was sat talking about Rav Zalman Chemia Goldberg and Shlomo Fisher in the Bezin, I learned Gittin by them. And in came a woman dressed so tremendously inappropriately for coming into a Bezin. It was shocking. And by law there, a dying could put you in jail for contempt of court. And I've seen it happen. And they were just, the belt with her, gave her a gift. And afterwards, I asked him, Zalman Chemia, you know, it didn't bother you? He said, of course it bothered me. But I asked my Shreya, Shlomo Zalman, what do I do when the lady comes in, totally inappropriately dressed, and comes to ask a shayla? What do I do? He said, Shlomo Zalman said, it depends if the shayla is more important than sneis or less important than sneis. A shayla from a mamzer, a shayla from a eshes ish, is pashut more important than this. So you should keep quiet and do it. If the shayla, the person coming asking a shayla hilchus muksa, and thing, because then you have to use your shekel adas as a kedai to speak up on it or no. Sometimes it's kedai to slowly work with the person. But wherever the shayla is more important than shayla is more important. Then the issue that you're taking objection to, you have to keep quiet.
So. Scootering on Shabbos, the Rav hold of it, is there something to talk about Talmidim?
What's wrong with scootering on Shabbos?
I'm asking the Rav if there's anything wrong.
No, again, there's an Erev, right? It's not carrying. There's no Mashvuye Gumis, because A, probably most of the city is paved. And more so, it's called Kovish, not you're not Mazes Offer. So your question is, not Shabbos Deck. I don't know. Personally, I would stop my children, not your children, not your telling me, but my children over Bar Mitzvah if I'm doing it, but under Bar Mitzvah, not. That's what I do with bicycles. But like I say, it's a chinuch question.
It's a regular mode of transport in England.
What?
Bicycles.
People go, yeah. Well, now they encourage bicycles. The bicycle lane. A bicyclist has a has right of way over someone driving a car on it. You have to stop for a bicycle. So a bicycle thing. And even scooters are zapchina. And it is common in some places that, you know, let's say a person, let's make the question more interesting. There's an Erev, the nearest shul is 7 miles away, the person is not capable of walking there, and he has two choices, and he can't move or whatever. Is it better to bicycle to shul, or is it better to stay home after Shabbos?
Well, if it's also Shabbos, I'm going to the call, so it's...
Over the dechel, you can't make up your own over the dechel. It's just a phrase. It's a borrowed phrase. It's a lashon mushal. Over the dechel really means when you have something which is a malacha, which is a maisa malacha, but in this case you don't have the criterion that fits the malacha. Like teichen is only on bilei karka. If I grate cheese with a grater, it says it's over the chol, because I'm doing a maisa teichen without the tnai of dule karka. You can't really walk around saying this is over the chol just because you don't like it or it doesn't.
Bicycles in place, we speak out of Zilzal Shabbos or
Again, some say over the chayal, some don't say over the chazan, because you might fix the chain, and therefore a tricycle is mutter and a bicycle is mutter. You know, when someone gives six reasons, that means they don't really know the, you know, there is no real reason. So like I say, it's something, like I say, it's not Shabbos stick, but I don't think it's particularly usher. And personally, in my own family, we only started preaching it at Bar Mitzvah. And then I don't see anyone.
None of my children
went down to the chuppah with a bicycle. Huh?
Regardless of distance, or is it around the block, or like across the neighborhood?
In the heter or in the isser?
So when you were saying under Bar Mitzvah, you let your kids?
Yeah, for fun they did it. They didn't do it. They had to go.
Not to go across the neighborhood.
Go to shul.
Would they go to shul? I don't think they did that. They don't do such things. Eh? Oh, my kids grew up in Gateshead, some of them. So, you know, Muncie or Gateshead, they didn't grow up in Florida. Huh?
That's the Shiloh.
Here, that the kids go to school like that.
Go to school, they go across town, they go to their friends, and they go all over the place. It gets very hot.
They
can't be outside for so long. So if you're scooter, you're not outside for so long.
Like I said, what? He's right. You're kidding.
Give it a year.
What?
What are they doing? Somebody
doing
the withdrawal
stuff.
Yeah.
I've only been here for a summer so far.
Again, I can only, again, you are the Machanchim of Miami. I'm not. I don't know where everyone's holding, what type of family. I don't know. You want an halacha? Personally, I would let kids under bar mitzvah do it, and I would over bar mitzvah not. But like I say, it could be just chinuch. It's not pure halacha. In pure halacha, it might be mutter. In Ben Ish Chai, it says in Baghdad they drove bicycles and Shabbos to shul. So in Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, the Ben Ish Chai says that they drove bicycles to shul on Shabbos in Baghdad. So I can't go say it's aveda when I know the Ben Ish Chai says that it was common practice. So. So you got to live with it. So now you have to decide what's the right thing. And again, sometimes there's something about a feeling of Shabbos is also very important.
How do you know to your own kids, how they see all their friends are doing it, and you say, I hold it down Shabbos, and you say, all my friends are wrong? No, I'm not.
Okay, that's not a bicycle question, that's a chinuch question. But everyone does it. What are you going to do when your kids...
So I'm asking a chinuch question.
Oh, that's a simple answer. When your kid says, but everyone does it, or everyone has it, sometimes it means 25% of the class has it, and sometimes it means 95% of the class has it. It's a very, very big difference, but everyone has it. And therefore, you have to know, what does that mean? But like I say, I personally never tussled with my children under Bar Mitzvah on things that are not clear Isurim.
What about swimming?
Swimming is an Issa. What? No, you can give multiple reasons because all of them are true, not because they're mutually exclusive. But again, the Mishnah says, "Exera of Shemiyase Chavisol Sheyatim." What? Confined swimming pool doesn't take away the Shemiyase Chavisol Sheyatim. It takes away carrying. It takes away all the other Isurim, but it won't take away this.
The Mishnah says if there's a loop on top, it's like the Mishnah says it doesn't. Or it says doesn't apply to a swimming pool because it's like since it's a loop around the pool. I don't know nowadays if it counts or not.
Yeah.
So it's more like the Gemara says like an abatia. It's not like zero by a pool.
I don't know.
Are you going to collect money for a kid needs an evaluation, but you're not confident the parents are going to follow through? Slightly dysfunctional. Are you going to take money from Tzedakah to do?
Do the evaluation, which is necessary, but you don't know if the...
Nothing's going to come out of it. They're not going to go on medicine, they're not going to give it to him, they're not going to give therapy, they're not going to do anything.
Probably yes, because it probably has some value even if you don't follow it through. First of all, even the schools should know what you're dealing with. It's very much easier to deal with someone when you know they have a certain disability rather than them, you know, is the kid making trouble or is the kid not in control of himself? It's very important to know this because you have to deal with the person differently. It will disrupt the class equally, but it's different in how you look at this person and how you could deal with that person. So I think it does have value. Now the parents won't follow through. What do you do? That's how you have to deal with parents.
We're also the same by pets. If you're playing with a neighbor's pet animal,
it's halachah. Yeah, pet is muksa. The only shaila is. But that's a plain issa. That's muksa. Okay. The only shaila is, can you move the fur without picking up the thing? That
Bir Alacha brings a machlekes between him and the Taisus Shabbos.
Is it not sad that if someone owns a pet, they can pick it up?
I don't think so. Again, since I don't think so, then we answered your chinuch question. Someone would think otherwise, they could think otherwise. But Pashtus, a Balchai is muksa, even though you meyachid it, because yichud is a din in the Shem Keli. I could take a stone and turn it into a doorstopper, but I can't take an animal and turn it into a doorstopper. And a Balchai is, but that's a muksa. Vest, Rezogin, no, that's because Balchais used to work and today they became pets. I don't think it's true. Pets always existed. How can I prove it to you that pets always existed? In the Teva, there was a Yaina. What was the Yaina there for? If you look in the Netziv, you'll see, Netziv Alatera, he says there were different types of animals in the Teva. Those that people had for work, and those that people had as pets. So the Netziv, at least according to the Netziv, they existed in the times of night.
That's one sheet, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass like that, but there is such a sheet.
But I'm telling you that pets, those who say nah, because pets never existed, that's not so. Pets always existed. Our Gemara is about pets.
I buy a sheep.
You have what batala maybe they zima, batala maybe they shimum. The nafkamin is if you buy a lady little puppies to play with, so it won't be maybe the day shimum, but maybe the day zima or whatever. So you see that they had puppies then to play with. It's nothing new. What? Until you can walk a dog with a leash as long as the leash is tight.
Yeah, all the you told us with the No.
What was it, a therapy dog?
What?
Therapy dogs. It's a thing.
It would also be muksa. They might have a heta that overrides muksa. Yeah, makam chayli, but makam hefsed, you know, thing. But etzim, it's muksa because you can't have a shem keli or shem thing on a bal chai. Can't be miyachad a bal chai as a doorstop or as a, you know, to hold down papers.
Children.
Okay, I'm going to have to go to the next one.